Rest assured, you know, if you're in a backslidden position, you can expect God to allow some drama in your life.
Hello, and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. We heard last week as Pastor Brian Grant brought a message from the life of Gideon, the mighty man of valor, how God always means to test the faith of every believer. Pastor Grant also brought out how that faith that has not been tested is a faith that cannot be trusted. Listen with us now as Pastor Grant continues with three principles that must be developed in the life of every believer if their faith is to be a faith that can truly be trusted. Here again is Pastor Grant with part two of Overcoming Faith.
With 42,000 soldiers, success for Israel was unlikely. But as we just heard in the reading, the number was whittled down to how many? 300! The number was whittled down. God said, listen, you have far too many with 42,000. And so the number was whittled down. 20,000 or 22,000 went home because they were afraid. Okay. Thank God. Let me just say this. I wasn't going to say, but I'm going to say this. Thank God for the 22,000 who were still armed for battle, though they were afraid. Just because you are afraid. Brother Chuck Jones and I were chatting recently, and he reminded me of a day we were down in North Philly doing ministry, and I was on the sidewalk about to preach, and a gentleman came up, and I'll be honest with you, I'm glad I didn't wet my pants because I was so scared, because the man was threatening and he was demanding that I stop and shut up. And as I said, I haven't really developed my muscles. So I knew if it went to a fight, who the victor was. But thank God, listen, it's okay to serve just because you're scared. And you know, God will always make a way when there doesn't seem to be a way. And God's answer, you know, what was God's answer that day? Brother Chuck Jones, I couldn't believe it. He went and stood between me and the man. I said, oh, here we go. And Chuck said to the man, get out of here. I'm like, whoa, 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 whoa. That seems very... And all of a sudden, this big bad dude, he like with his tail between his legs. I'm like, hallelujah. Look at that. Look at that. Listen. Just because you are afraid, just because you are timid, God is not asking all of us to be Mr. and Mrs. Macho Man. Amen. All he's asking is for some willing volunteers who are willing to serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the King who has all power. He says, all power is given unto me in earth and in heaven, and may we hang on and serve him. Amen. God does not need us, for he is the one in whom all things find their source and their existence. I want to make this point because I think it's so important. God does not need us. Theologians call this whole idea, the fact that everything finds their source and their existence and their continuance in God. Theologians, I give you a big word to put to your notes. Theologians call this the aseity of God. The aseity of God. God is independently self-existent, and he's independently self-sufficient. Oh, you know, sit down when you go home and just chew on that. He's independently self-existent. He's independently independently self-sufficient. He's the uncaused cause. He's the uncreated creator. He's the source of all things. The one who originated everything and who sustains everything that exists. He is the ever-present power that sustains all life. And I am so, you know what thrills me about all this information? He's my God. I know him personally. Does that excite you? To know that this God, this independently self-existent and independently self-sufficient God, he knows my name. Hallelujah. Jesus knows my name. And if you know him as your Savior, he knows your name, and all his resources are available for you to use to bring honor and glory to him. There is no one else like him. Amen. Yes, worship him. There is none else like him. This is the God we worship, and it is a privilege to know him and to serve him. Amen. He deserves our worship and our adoration. And I just want to ask those of you here this morning, as well as those who are listening to us, whether on radio or you may be watching us on the live stream, I just want to ask you this question. Have you started a relationship, a personal relationship with this God yet? Do you know him? This amazing God, the amazing thing is he is interesting in having personal relationships with us, young people, children, teenagers. This Almighty God is interested in having a personal relationship with you. He wants to talk with you every single day. Let us seize the opportunity. First, overcoming faith is developed by dependence on God's strength. But second, put this down, overcoming faith is deepened by submitting our fears to God. Overcoming faith is deepened by submitting our fears to God. God wanted Gideon and his 300 men to attack Midian's camp that night. But he first had to deal with Gideon's fear. For despite everything Gideon had seen, you know, the Gideon story ought to encourage us. Because some of us have, like Gideon, are so timid. But you know, one of the things it tells us, you may as well submit, because God is not going to give up. All right? We're just missing out, okay? God had already told Gideon 3 times that he would give Israel victory and had reassured him with 3 special signs. Remember, Gideon had the signs of the fire from the rock. Then he had the sign of the wet fleece, and he had the sign of the dry fleece. Gideon had all these things at his disposal. His faith should have been strong. He should have been raring to go. But that was not the case. He was still very fearful. Oh, it's amazing the things God has allowed us to see. Amen? It's amazing. And yet some of us still haven't done anything. I'm so glad he's such a patient God. I'm so glad he didn't give up on me. And I just want to encourage you, my friend, just because he hasn't given up on you, don't just sit at ease in Zion. Amen? It's time. It's time to say, God, if you have blessed me and you have given me the ability to make a difference for you, God, I want to serve you. Overcoming faith is developed by dependence on his strength, not your own, not what you can do, but overcoming faith is deepened by submitting our fears to God. Well, let's see what God did. Judges chapter 7, verse 9. And if you really just take time to read this, it's just an amazing thing what God did. Judges chapter 7, verse 9. It happened on the same night
that the Lord said to Gideon, "Arise, go down against the camp, for I have delivered it into your hand. But if you're afraid to go down, take Purah, your servant." Well, as you read, you saw he did take Purah, so he was afraid, okay? So he was afraid to go down. And so God even made an allowance for his fear. God says, if you're afraid, take Purah. And so he took Purah. "And you shall hear what they say, and afterwards your hand shall be strengthened to go down against the camp." All this was read already. So I just want to jump down to verse 13. "And when Gideon had come, there was a man telling a dream to his companion. He said, 'I've had a dream. To my surprise, a loaf of barley bread tumbled into the camp of Midian. It came to a tent and struck it, so that it fell and overturned, and the tent collapsed.' Then his companion answered and said, 'This is nothing else but the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel. Into his hand, God has delivered Midian and the whole camp.'" When you read this, I don't know how it makes you feel. I don't know if it helps you to realize how God is this awesome God of perfect timing. Isn't it amazing how the whole thing comes together? God sets it up. They get there and they hear the enemy. The enemy. God is using the enemy to give them confidence and build their courage. The enemy says, "This is nothing else but the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel. Into his hand God has delivered Midian and the whole camp." It's amazing. Listen, even the rocks can cry out to praise his name. God is in control of everything and everyone. Amen. I just thought that was such a... God had specially set this up so that the Midian soldiers' words would encourage Gideon. You know, whether we realize it or not, God has a special assignment for each of us. Amen. And oh, it is my prayer that today we will stop allowing our fears to restrict us and to stop us. We can no longer continue to be driven by our fear. Amen? Let's ask God today to help us to move forward. Listen, overcoming faith is developed by dependence on God's strength. Second, overcoming faith is deepened by submitting our fears to God. And third, overcoming faith is demonstrated by carrying out God's directives. Overcoming faith is demonstrated by carrying out God's directives. I'm at verse 15 of Judges chapter 7. "So it was when Gideon heard the telling of the dream and its interpretation that he worshipped. He returned to the camp of Israel." Oh, it's good sometimes just to pause and worship. He just worshipped this God who had made all these arrangements just for him. He recognized this was something personal. God was speaking to him. God was working things out just to get him moving. He worshipped. He returned to the camp of Israel and said, "Arise, for the Lord has delivered the camp of Midian into your hand." Then he divided the 300 men into three companies, and he put a trumpet into every man's hand with empty pitchers and torches inside the pitchers. And he said to them, "Look at me and do likewise. Watch, and when I come to the edge of the camp, you shall do as I do. When I blow the trumpet, I and all who are with me, then you also blow the trumpet on every side of the whole camp and say, 'The sword of the Lord and of Gideon!'" So Gideon and the 100 men who were with him came to the outpost of the camp at the beginning of the middle watch, just as they had posted the watch, and they blew the trumpet and broke the pitchers that were in their hands. Then the three companies blew the trumpets, broke the pitchers. They held the torches in their left hands and the trumpet in their right hand for blowing. And they cried, "The sword of the Lord and of Gideon!" And every man stood in his place all around the camp. And the whole army ran and cried out and fled. When the 300 blew the trumpets, the Lord set every man's sword against his companion. Can you imagine? What a mighty God we serve. God, listen, the Lord set every man's sword against his companion through the whole camp. It is not a matter that they did any fighting. It was God who did it. The Lord, our banner, Jehovah Nissi, amen. And the army fled to Beth Acacia towards whatever that word is, as far as the border of Abel Meholah by Tabath. It's a good thing I don't have any more children, or I would start using some of these names here. And the men of Israel gathered together from Naphtali, Asher, and all Manasseh, and pursued the Midianites. Then Gideon sent messengers throughout all the mountains of Ephraim, saying, come down against the Midianites, and seize them from the watering places. These people have been in hiding all this time, as Beth Barah and Jordan. Then all the men of Ephraim gathered together and seized the watering places as far as Beth Barah and the Jordan. And they captured the two princes of the Midianites, Oreb and Zeb. They killed Oreb at the rock of Oreb, and Zeb they killed at the winepress of Zeb. They pursued Midian and brought the heads of Oreb and Zeb to Gideon on the other side of the Jordan. Overcoming faith is demonstrated by carrying out God's directives. Just imagine, for over 7 years, Israel was in a backslidden position. Don't miss this. The reason for their trouble, Israel was in a backslidden position, and God had allowed them to be terrorized and tormented by the Midianites. Perhaps I'm speaking to somebody this morning, and you're in a backslidden position. Rest assured, you know, if you're in a backslidden position, you can expect God to allow some drama in your life. Because God will allow drama into your life to get you back to the place where you belong. Amen? To get you back to where you belong. Israel was hiding in dens and caves with little or no food to eat. But once they decided to obey God and to carry out his directives, everything changed. And I believe there could be somebody listening this morning, and you're in a backslidden position. And I tell you, listen, you're in a backslidden condition, but everything can change. Things are not going the way you would like in your life, but a lot will change if you come back. Turn to Jesus. Allow him to restore you to his fellowship. You know, Eagles fans, I'm winding up. Eagles fans are excited to be now up 2-0. It's keeping the hope alive that they might. Should I say them or we? Let me say we. We're keeping the hope alive that we'll make it to the Super Bowl again this year. But how would you feel if this coming Monday night, I think we play Tampa Bay. How would you feel? Is that who we're playing? How would you feel on Monday night if Jalen Hurts calls the Eagles into a huddle, discusses the play, they slap each other on the butt as they always do, and then before they run a play, they go back to the sidelines and call a timeout. Timeout is up, they go back into a huddle, they discuss a play, slap each other on the butt again, and come back to the sidelines. I'm sure I see some football people looking at me. I'm sure even though you're not at the game, you're just watching on your TV, you'd be shouting at the TV, run the play! Run the play! And I believe that today heaven is shouting to many of us, run the play! For many Christians are not running the play. We're not carrying out God's directive. We're coming to church in a nice holy huddle. But when we leave here, we're not running the play. We're not taking the message of the cross to the world. The message is not impacting our lives and transforming our behavior. And God is saying to us this morning, run the play. My friend, I'm going to ask you as we bring this message to a close, as the Spirit of God is speaking to you, stop putting it off. Stop going back to the sidelines. Stop doing what you've been doing. Oh, I'll go home and think about it. No, don't go home to think about it. Make a decision right now that God, you're calling me, and by your power, I will run the play. Perhaps you're here this morning and you're not saved. Jesus does not live in your heart. You have never been transformed by the power of God. I'm here to tell you, young man or older person, Jesus is worth it. Salvation is worth it. Everlasting life is worth it. Peace with God is worth it. Having a home and a hope in heaven is worth it. And today, Jesus, the one who hung on the cross for your sin, this morning he offers you everlasting life. If you would come to him and admit to him that you're a sinner, God, I admit I'm a sinner. Oh, let's not even argue about it. We've done enough stuff to know we're sinners. Admit to him you're a sinner and thank Jesus for dying on the cross for your sin. And let him know today you're willing to turn from sin and turn to him. And I tell you, if you do that, he will change your life.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner, need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ, or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-242-5550 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for online worship this Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. at livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. It would be a pleasure to have you as part of our online audience. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.